Welcome to the Recency Belief Podcast with Daniel White III. My name is Danae Mary Louise White, and I am the third oldest daughter of Daniel White III. We are glad that you have joined us today as Daniel White III equips Christians to stand firm in their faith and offers unbelievers a recency belief.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to the Reasons to Believe podcast, episode number 194. My name is Daniel White III, president of Gospel Light Society International. Our Reasons to Believe scripture passage for today is Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. And it reads, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our reasons to believe quote for today is from Dr. John MacArthur. He said, Scripture, because of its absolute clarity, brings understanding where there is ignorance, order where there is confusion, and light where there is spiritual and moral darkness. It stands in stark contrast to the muddled musings of unredeemed men who themselves are blind and unable to discern truth or live righteously. God's word clearly reveals the blessed, hopeful truth they can never see. Today, dear friends, we are continuing the topic of the Holy Scripture, its inerrancy, infallibility, and inspiration, using our God-breathed book, the Bible, the verbally inspired, eternal, inerrant Word of God, by Dr. John R. Rice, who is now home with the Lord. Our reasons to believe PowerPoint today comes from Chapter 1, Inspiration, Holy Ground, Pull Off Your Shoes, Part 8. The second, the tremendous testimony of Dr. B.H. Carroll. In a most remarkable and moving article, My Infidelity and What Became of It, by B.H. Carroll, the great Southern Baptist theologian, founder of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, tells how when he faced this verse of Scripture, it led him to give God an honest trial. Dr. Carroll tells how he heard the challenge by a humble country preacher who insisted that he take God up on this promise to be willing to know the truth. Dr. Carroll said, I had sworn never to put my foot in another church. My father had died believing me lost. My mother, when does a mother give up a child, came to me one day and begged for her sake that I would attend one more meeting. It was a Methodist camp meeting held in the fall of 1865. I had not an atom of interest in it. I liked the singing, but the preaching did not touch me. But one day I shall never forget. It was Sunday at 11 o'clock. The great wooden shed was crowded. I stood on the outskirts, leaning on my crutches, warily and somewhat scornfully enduring. The preacher made a failure even for him. There was nothing in his sermon, but when he came down, as I supposed, to exhort as usual, he startled me, not only by not exhorting, but by asking some questions that seemed meant for me. He said, You that stand aloof from Christianity and scorn us simple folks, what have you got? Answer honestly before God. Have you found anything worth having where you are? My heart answered in a moment, nothing under the whole heaven, absolutely nothing. As if he had heard my unspoken answer, he continued, is there anything else out there worth trying that has any promise in it? Again, my heart answered nothing, absolutely nothing. I have been to the jumping off place on all these roads. They all lead to a bottomless abyss. Well then, he continued, admitting there's nothing there, if there be a God, mustn't there be a something somewhere? If so, how do you know it is not here? Are you willing to test it? Have you the fairness and courage to try it? I don't ask you to read any book, nor study any evidences, nor make any difficult and tedious pilgrimages. That way is too long and time is too short. Are you willing to try it now, to make a practical experimental test? You too be the judge of the result. These cool, calm, and pertinent questions hit me with tremendous force, but I didn't understand the test. He continued, I base my test on these two scriptures. If any man willeth to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. For the first time I understood the import of these scriptures. I had never before heard of such a translation for the first, and had never examined the original text. In our version it says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God. But the preacher quoted it, whosoever willeth to do the will of God, showing that the knowledge as to whether the doctrine was of God depended not upon external action and not upon exact conformity with God's will, but upon the internal disposition. Whosoever willeth or wishes to do God's will. The old translation seemed to make knowledge impossible, the new practicable. In the second scripture was also new light. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, which means that true knowledge follows persistence in the prosecution of it, that is, it comes not to temporary and spasmodic investigation. Dear friends, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue the tremendous testimony of Dr. B.H. Carroll and other things in this fine book and podcast in our next episode. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you so much for our time together. Thank you for reminding us of the inspiration of your holy scriptures. In this unique way, help us never to forget it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you are listening today and you have never trusted this Jesus, please know that Jesus loves not only me, Jesus loves you. And if you want to be saved by Jesus today, here is how. Believe in God the Father, believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, he shed his blood for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Shall be saved. Shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. What a great deal. Until next time, my beloved, please keep in mind these reasons to believe. God bless you.